So students, now we are going to discuss sources of recruitment, which is chapter number 4. If you were to recollect, we have in a brief fashion mentioned the sources. In this chapter, we will provide you with more insights related to all the sources along with a detailed list of their advantages and disadvantages. So as is customary, let's begin with the introduction slide. The process of inducting or recruiting people into the system will depend on the overall recruiting strategy, the budget, resources, and changing business needs. Recruiters have the opportunity of choosing the candidates for its recruitment processes, as we all know, from two kinds of sources, internal and external. So effective recruitment is basically a timely, organized and engaging process, and it tends to give a good first impression of an organization. If done well, this process will allow a new startup to lay the foundations for important relationships with their team and across the wider organization and give them the best possible start in the organization. So just envision a person who's newly joined as a graduate engineer trainee. The environment looks intimidating, the people are new, but if everything is done well, they will be brought up to speed and their trust in the system will tend to grow. Thus, the choice of recruiting will depend on your overall recruitment or recruiting strategy. Some of the other factors that can be considered may be the resources that are present, depending upon also the changing needs and the budget spends that a team can devote the recruitment activities to. Most likely, you will consider a flexible combination of options, including in-house promotions and referrals or online job boards and recruiting firms as discussed earlier. The results you can expect will depend on your priorities at the outset. Requirement-based choice of sources of recruitment is an important topic that we are going to address in this and the next few slides. So as we all have come to know, there are several methods and of course, a wide gamut of avenues that are available for recruiters for the hiring purposes. And these also can be used to advertise a specific job opening. For example, in your organization, let's say it's an IT organization and there is a need for Amazon Web Services developers. Now, would you only stick to LinkedIn? Maybe not. So what would you do? You would also look at other avenues. You would also go ahead and advertise this on a newspaper. You would advertise this through the referral system. So internal and external sources of recruitments have become abundant now. The advertisement itself, of course, is the core, or it is the key to attract the aspirants. So itself, it should be about to highlight the qualifications that the applicants must have, as well as the essential responsibilities of the job. So as we have discussed numerous number of times, if the right fit is available, the recruitment process becomes efficient. We also need to analyze the selection ratios, which we have discussed as a key metric in the last chapter, and understand how effective is the hiring process in an overall manner. Now, what this essentially does is it actually forces the applicants to submit customized resumes that indicate how they meet each position's requirements. Now, I would request you to pause this video for some time and try and analyze what benefits will be accrued to the recruitment professionals by having this done in a diligent manner. Now, coming back from that short pause, I'm sure many of you might have struck the right solution. The right solution is the recruitment professionals at every stage of the recruitment and selection process would have the right fits and would require less screening of the resumes because they are a tight fit to what you actually need from the candidates or the aspirants. So while choosing sources of recruitment, hiring and retaining of employees thus remains one of the major concerns. I believe everybody is conversant with that fact by now. So if the wrong hiring takes place at any level, may it be at an operator level, a junior level at in the manufacturing concerns, a basic programmer level in the IT concern, a junior banker in the banking sector, or a junior FMCG professional, or tenured and seasoned employees like the mid-management folks or the top management people. So every cadre of the management, every layer is important. And as we are aware, there is no dearth of jobs. And of course, it's a highly competitive environment. So these things need to be kept in mind for the continuous survival of the organization. The hiring process thus begins even before the recruitment of a new employee has started. So there will be several occasions where the managers have to envision growth. If it's a startup, the founders will have to do that. If it's a seasoned organization, various layers of management, various departments, various domains, they have to basically envision what is the need for the organization to grow in a steady and an organic manner. Thus, the hiring process begins even before the recruitment of a new employee. Systems have to be set up. You have to understand the criticality of the position. You have to work with the several metrics that were discussed in the last chapter in order to do so effectively. A number of steps thus are involved, and most need to be completed to hire someone successfully. So we've already seen various models. We've already seen various theories which actually make this a successful process. Now here there are some important questions that can be asked. So this is a discussion in continuation with the previous set of discussions. So important questions are, what type of individuals should be targeted? So who are your ideal candidates who can in a seamless manner fit into the culture of the organization and start performing in a very quick manner? Of course, where can these people be found? So we have to explore the several avenues which were mentioned earlier. How can the targeted individuals be best reached? So after finding them, can you reach them? Let's suppose you have employed a headhunting agency and you are in requirement of a CEO for your organization. Now, after you have searched in a passive manner, because they will not publish their resumes publicly, so you have found the right fit. Now, how can you reach them, or how can the headhunting organization reach them and make them aware of this particular job opening at your organization? What recruitment message should be thereupon communicated? So how would you double up, apart from the headhunting organization, of course, how would you double up? And this can also be pertinent to the other requirements. So how would you double up as a marketing professional and sell the virtues of your organization? How would you inform these folks that your organization is the one which will be a preferred choice for them and they will see good amount of progression in their career? The last question to be pondered upon is, what type of recruiters should be used? So as we've covered this extensively in the previous chapter, we've covered it also in the first chapter, we will also get a detailed flavor of it here. So these are certain important questions that need to be understood from the context of the requirement-based choice of sources of recruitment. So another few set of elements or essentials that need to be discussed or pondered upon would be the level of the position to be filled. So whether it's an executive level, whether it's a mid-management level, whether it's a contractual level, what is the level that you are aspiring to fill for the organization? The next is, of course, the interplay of the demand and supply factors. So in any given economy, we have two important factors that constantly, you know, they are in constant interplay with each other. That's the demand and the supply. Now, at its most basic level, as we know, demand is nothing but the requirement that you have from the job market. So you're falling short of an X number of people and you are approaching the open job market to acquire those X number. Now, the number of people available for that void or vacancy is known as the supply, correct? So the demand and supply, now they also, this is a dynamic factor. It's not as simple as I had mentioned. It has a lot of complications to it. So there might also be certain limitations which are well known as constraints. So you have to identify if there are any constraints in the demand and supply mechanism. The next is, of course, the time and the budget constraints. So we've looked at the time to fill, we've looked at certain budgetary aspects in the previous chapter. So these limitations need also to be considered. The next part is the location. So are you recruiting somebody for the head office location? Are you looking at them for a specific branch or, you know, offshore? So when I was working as a recruitment professional and an L&D professional for KPIT Cummins, we used to, you know, recruit people in various parts of India as well as many parts in the Europe, many places in the Americas. So what is the location? So is the location clear to you is what you have to think about. And of course, the payment and the benefits. So what sort of compensation will this candidate receive for, you know, or as a remuneration to their services, and what sort of benefits? So there are several benefits that can accrue from a job. So these benefits include your incentives, they may include the bonus, they may include gratuity if the person stays longer than 5 years, they may include a group cover, a blanket cover of insurance, and several other aspects. For a higher level, it might also cover perks like, you know, a vehicle for commute, a house to stay, and so on. So all these aspects need to be understood under this particular heading. So the key elements of a sourcing plan includes prioritize the talent. So first point or a critical point that needs discussion is a mechanism to prioritize the talent needs. Now, what is talent? Talent is basically the supply that you are getting from the market, the individuals or the people who will fill the void or the vacancy in your organization and will supply you with the needed competency or skill. So detail the numbers required. So very important. So this can be done on a monthly basis. So what is the number you're looking on a monthly, a quarterly, which is more macroscopic in nature, a biannual and an annual maybe. Okay, so we've included a biannual here, it's not mentioned, and an annual basis. So this would needed to be done for the planned hires for each business, any team or division, and prioritize the same. So prioritize can be which are the most critical requirements. So they could be prioritized in that manner. The next point is, of course, a very critical point again, plan the sourcing budget. Now, when you are sourcing people, when you are running a hiring process, of course, the resources that we have at our disposal are not abundant, correct? So we have to work within our own limits. So there's a scarcity element and a certain budget that we need to play around with. So it's always prudent that we make the right estimation of the funding needs, because we will be, you know, having a lot of costs, like cost of generating advertisements, cost of hiring recruitment professionals, if need be from outside, costs of putting, information on the media and social media, and subsequently offering the candidate, a certain CTC. Again, there would be training costs involved as well and relocation. So all these come into the cost per hire factor, which we have observed in the previous chapter. So ideally, it's important to have a job requisition system in place so that things happen in a systematic fashion. So have a process that allows managers to requisition and HR teams to identify and prioritize job openings. Now, a key advantage here with this process is there is no ad hoc recruitment or there is no wastage or surplus. So as you know, the void is created or the vacancy is created, it can be sufficed by a system of sourcing. A few other elements include profiled talent needs. So the process of creating funnels, the process of creating segments or filters is a very important aspect if the recruitment and hiring process has to go in a smooth fashion. So it's important to filter profiles from job descriptions that identify responsibilities and required key skills. Along with those skills, we also look at their competencies or abilities, the kind of knowledge that they have, and of course, most important is the experience that they carry, so that once they are on the job, they will start performing as required. Now, we also need to look at the aspect of internal sourcing. So here it's very important, it's critical to define a system to allow for current employees to compete for promotions and transfers. Now, although we are repeating these points, but they are very important from the context of effective recruitments. So if you are a recruiter, always give a preference to availability of internal employees. If they are competent enough, then you would spend much less time and efforts looking outside. So this is a very quintessential element of the sourcing plan. Now, of course, if the internal sourcing fails, we have to then revise our approach, change our approach, and we have to then move to external sourcing. So in external sourcing, it's important to develop the image you want to convey to the marketplace. So it's all about the image that an organization has. It's all about the values that it is able to convey. And of course, importantly, its brand that it needs to project. So the brand image is something which the professionals have to conscientiously project to the marketplace. Now, this includes the positive aspects of the organization and what sort of positivity, creativity, innovation, engagement, involvement would the job entail. In fact, if you recollect yesterday's discussion, or you know, the chapter in chapter 3 when we had a discussion, we took this in a very detailed manner. The external market sourcing selects the appropriate sources to be used, such as ads, job fairs, the internet, the social media, etc. So once this has been conveyed either to our own recruitment professionals or the outsourced agencies, they will act upon this using such mediums for recruitment. The next is the creative sourcing. So apart from internal and external, it can also be in terms of creative sourcing. So consider alternatives such as temporary, contract, part-time, outsourcing, offshore, job sharing, and telecommuting. So these also are certain choices that can be made if the conventional sources fail to provide you with the requisite numbers or the requisite quality. So there's a good example which I can provide as of this moment in time. So a few years ago, I was conducting a business excellence session and an executive presence session for some engineers who had newly joined in an organization, in an IT organization, and they were based out of Mexico, which is in the Americas, Central America. And I realized that there were a few ladies who were a part of the training who were the wives of tenured engineers, especially the Indian engineers who were in Mexico for quite some time. So these software engineers were working on Python, they were working on Java, they were working on AWS, and their wives, who also had accompanied them, were approached and they were trained and they were, you know, given a good remuneration. So this is a prime example of creative sourcing. The next key element would be the applicant tracking system. Okay, so once the applicant, okay, fills in the application or they fill in the resume, is there some sort of a diligent tracking that happens? Is there a sort of, you know, a method developed where each individual is tracked in a systematic manner? So it's very important to define a system to track candidates for sourcing processes and reporting. So through this, you will be able to derive and devise various quantitative and qualitative measures to understand, and this historical data then can be utilized in the future for making the process more efficient. The next key element is measuring mechanisms. So this we have also spoken in detail, yes, you know, in the previous chapter. So define a system to report and track efficiency of the various sources of recruiting, which can be then used to monitor progress and for monitoring requirements. So this can be done in terms of the metrics that we have seen. We can use elements like the selection ratios and understand how efficiently do our sources of recruitment work. We can then use our higher order thinking patterns and skills to develop more efficiency for the future. Now we will look at the elements of efficiency and effectiveness of the sourcing process in this particular diagram in a detailed fashion. So this includes the quality and outcomes of the process. So we need to analyze and understand what sort of aspects go into building this process, what is the quality, and what is the outcome of the process. So are we getting the requisite number of people? Are these people performing well once they are inducted into the system? Do these people, are they vulnerable to a quick exit or turnover? So all these aspects need to be pondered upon here. We also need to look at the speed of the process and the response time. So if we are institutionalizing a specific process, what is the speed? Are people, you know, once a requirement is generated, are, you know, the people filled quickly? The time to fill, is it, you know, short or is it very lengthy? And of course, you know, if we consider the vendors, so what is the response time from those vendors? How sooner or how later are they able to bring these candidates to us and we are able to recruit them into the system? Of course, we also need an analysis because, as stated earlier, we are operating under a budget. So what are certain costs that are incurred in this particular process is also to be analyzed. So again, you know, we are discussing this point further. So a widely used measure for talent sourcing effectiveness is the quality, as mentioned previously, of the new hire. Now, of course, any organization would aspire to have the best quality candidate who can meet, you know, the skill and the will needs of the organization. So the new hire quality measures are a way for recruiters to justify the sourcing strategies they choose and recruiting costs that they pay. For example, if let us say in a bank, let's consider a reputed bank in an A grade city, and they require, let us say, a product manager. So this manager is supposed to, you know, look at the product portfolios of HNI clients. Now the earlier manager was doing a fantastic job, but has been poached or headhunted by another bank. So there's a void or a vacancy. Now, if, let us say, this bank approaches, now they've outsourced their recruitment processes, There's nobody there internally, so they've chosen an external route. So they get in touch with their own agency, and if the agency is able to give them at a particular cost, that's the price for that particular candidate, if they're able to give a competent person, then this would be a proper quality hire. If not, then they would need to, the company, the bank needs to review the quality measures. So I think this example has been very important for us to understand this particular point. So in essence, quality of hire communicates what value the organization is getting for the recruiting money it is spending. So consultants today, you know, they take anywhere. So there is a range. They might charge you anywhere from a 10 to a 50 or an 80, or, you know, the amount can go on. So for executive hires, they might charge you in the higher lakhs as well. So it should justify, the amount that you are spending should be justified by the quality of the hire. Now let's revisit in a detailed fashion the sources of recruitment. So as we can see, these are clubbed under two heads. So internal sources include promotions, transfers, employee referrals, job posting, former employees, and recalls. So we've been through many of these. So recalls are basically those people who probably have left on some reason, or they may have retired voluntarily for some reason and are recalled to the organization if there is a need arises. External sources, of course, employment at the factory level. So here, you know, people would go to the factory premises at the gate, at the main gate, and they would see openings and they would just walk in for those openings. Usually happens for the blue collared employees, the operator level employees, and has been seen prominently. So I have been extensively training, you know, in various manufacturing concerns. And this is something which is a usual occurrence at the major factories of the organizations. Of course, it is also done through publishing of an advertisement. Every major A-grade city, B-grade city has its own employment exchanges run by government or semi-government agencies, where people can, you know, register themselves and they can be called by the organizations. You've also got employment agencies, the recruitment agencies, where you register yourself, you're at times trained, you give a small fee. Also campus recruitments, so through the campuses, walk-ins, which can happen similar to employment at factory. This can happen through a published ad at a specific date. Again, headhunters and consultants. So these are the sources of recruitment, and of course, we will discuss each in a detailed fashion. So internal sources are primarily of three types: transfers, promotions, and re-employment of ex-employees. Okay, so recalling of ex-employees is one of the internal sources of recruitment, in which employees can be invited and appointed to fill vacancies in the organization. So sometimes this also happens. Now there are some very pertinent cases where I could give you an example to simplify this. So when I was working for previous organizations, we had a few ladies, lady colleagues, who had been on a maternity leave. And since many a times the husband was working, there were no in-laws, they were not from the city, you know, that it was not their original native town. So the ladies, they generally, they resigned, and they were kind of taking care of their infant, their little child. And after 2 to 3 years, when the child was older than what it was earlier, it could be kept in a company creche or a play school, where the mother would again initiate employment as she was recalled. So she was recalled as an ex-employee and she started working again. Internal recruiters may be multifunctional, serving in an HR generalist role. So, of course, who are those people who, you know, create the transfers, the promotions, the recalls? So these are company employees. They might be multifunctional, as stated here. Okay, so they may be, manning several roles under the HR umbrella. Sometimes if it's too large an organization and the recruitment needs are pretty heavy, pretty high, and internal recruitments happen at a great volume or a large volume. In this case, it can be specific role also, focusing their entire time on recruiting. Of course, as we know, initial consideration should be given to a company's current employees, and this is the premises for the internal recruitment. Let's discuss more about this topic. So, here, as you are aware, of course, we've discussed this, a quick recall. It is a factor to improve the morale and the motivation, and also beneficial for an organization which with large stores of efficient employees ready to be promoted. So thereupon, it saves time, money, and efforts. Of course, this does not come with shortfalls. A major drawback or a shortfall of internal recruitment is that it actually robs the organization of a fresh perspective or a new talent. Okay, so the homegrown employees are the ones who lead, and of course they have boxed perspective. They don't have an outside view of the world because they've primarily worked long years for this current organization. Also, not all manpower requirements can be met through internal recruitment. Thus, along with internal recruitment, hiring from outside has to be done as well. So let's quickly look at each in detail before we move to external. So promotion, of course, now these are self-explanatory, so we'll just, you know, quickly rush through them. Promotion refers to promoting or upgrading an employee. I'm sure the ones who are, you know, working currently, you know, may have experienced promotions like I have frequently. So this involves, you know, promoting or upgrading an employee who is already existing in the payroll and is contributing, okay, and has contributed for the organizational performance in the past months, years. It is done by shifting an employee to a higher position with higher responsibilities, facilities, status, and pay. So prominent examples can be the people from technical and non-technical backgrounds who are in an individual position, and later on they are promoted to a senior individual position and eventually to a management cadre or position. The next being transfer. So this is, you know, something which is, you may say, parallel or an alternative technique to a promotion. Now, when does it become lucrative is when a person has been working for very long away from their base location. For example, let's say a gentleman from Delhi has been transferred very early in their career in a reputed organization to a place like Bangalore. Now, there is a major cultural difference between Delhi and Bangalore apart from the weather and the food. Now, after working for some 6 or 7 years, an opening, a very good opening, has come up in Delhi, okay, which is the base location where maybe the gentleman's parents, his relatives, his childhood friends are. So although it's not a promotion here, the person will pick up the transfer. The person will look forward to a transfer because for them it is something which is favorable. They get back to their roots. They get back to their parents, maybe their siblings, their entire friend circle, correct? So under this, the employees are internally recruited through transfer mechanisms from one place to another, as I just cited. It means transfer refers to the process of interchanging the job duties and responsibilities of employees from one place to another or from one department to another. So sometimes if you are adept at working in multiple departments, like let's suppose if I am adept at learning and development and I possess the same sort of fluency with recruitments and a few other aspects of human resource, I may be transferred someplace else where probably L&D might take a backseat, learning and development might take a backseat, and I may be required to work more from the recruitment perspective. So this can also happen as a part of the transfer. The next is the employee referrals. Now, this is also something which is pretty lucrative for the people who are already working. Okay, so this is recruiting new people based on the reference of current employees. So although this is not a thoroughly or a purely internal mechanism, but the sources of recruiting are internal. Like the people who do a recruitment are the current employees. They bring in their friends, their colleagues from a previous organization, or somebody they know who may be competent and have the required quality to man these positions. So under this method, a candidate is appointed on the recommendation of some currently working employees. The interesting thing is this does not just happen in seasoned or tenured organizations. It also happens in other places. Like recently, I was referred by a training consultant whom I've been working with for long years to another, you know, director of another organization, and I've started, you know, conducting learning and development projects for them as well. It is effective particularly to find critically skilled candidates for the organizations in this manner as well. So it has been a major source of new hires at many levels, including professionals, and is pretty popular in various organizations where this kind of, you know, service is lucrative to the existing employees. They earn a certain referral amount. The next one is known as a job posting or an IJP or an internal job posting. So this is another effective internal source where employees can be invited and appointed to fill vacancies in the concern. For example, let's consider a manufacturing unit where there is a job opening for a supervisor, which is a couple of levels above the foundry worker or the operator. So let's consider there are four senior operators who get to know about this and they apply for this, and one of them is eventually selected. So here the organization benefits by not having to publish an advertisement outside, not having to pay somebody from outside. And of course, it increases the morale of those operators or senior operators because one of them has become a supervisor. In other words, job posting is an open invitation to all employees in an organization to apply for the vacant position as stated through the example. There are situations when ex-employees provide unsolicited applications also. So if they get to know that there is a job opening, they will also reapply or hope for a recall here. Of course, former employees and recalls are two other primary sources. So former employees include retired employees who are willing to work on a part-time basis. So in my long years of working with corporates, I have seen several people at a very high profile who've been the managing director probably of the organization, a general manager, a CTO, a CFO, who've worked till the retirement. And of course, they were recalled to work as a consultant as well. Okay, so the organization hires them for their expertise, their long-standing service, and they do not have to work the long hours. They may just work on a part-time basis. Individuals who've left work and are willing to, come back for higher compensations, even retrenched employees are taken up once again. So if there is some sort of a firing done on performance basis, there can be a revaluation as well. So again, this is pretty similar. When the management faces a problem which can be solved only by a manager who has proceeded on long leave, it may be decided to recall those people after the problem is solved. His leave may be extended. So this also is another important or a primary internal source of recruitment. Thank you.